Let's talk about the riots in the streets that are going on right now. We are recording this on September 1st, 2020, and our guest is Bill Federer, author of a new book called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. His website is AmericanMinute.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Bill, it's great to have you back on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Jerry.
Bill, what's going on in the streets of America? And don't tell me about Plato, and don't tell me about Machiavelli. Tell me about Minneapolis. Tell me about Kenosha. Tell me about Atlanta.
Right. So there is what appears to be the intentional stirring up of racial tensions for political purposes. The term is race baiting. It's been used for decades and decades, but you want to harness the passions that are existing in these issues, and you want to harness them for political purposes. And so Saul Alinsky, who is he? He rode around with Al Capone's hitmen in Chicago and Frank Nitti, and saw how all you had to do was kill a few people, smash a few windows, and the neighborhood would panic and agree to pay the mob protection money.
Yeah.
And so Saul Alinsky applied this to politics. He says, you go into a neighborhood and you create crises and panic, and people will be willing to give up their freedoms to whatever political candidate promises to solve it. And so Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis at Wellesley College on Saul Alinsky.
And he offered her a job when she got out. And she was like, well, I think I could do more good, quote unquote, for the cause, you know, by serving in other areas than in, you know, serving with you.
Yeah, I actually spoke years ago at West Main High School. There was a history professor
in Rosemont, Illinois.
Yeah, yes.
In the Chicago area.
In Chicago area, the history professor was Paul Carlton. He's since passed away.
Mm.
I spoke six classes during the day on.
So
history.
He must have been conservative enough to invite you to speak.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he didn't believe in Hillary's messages.
I mean, this is an old-fashioned classroom. Had wooden desks, and he had flags and presidents' pictures all around the classroom wall. And
wow.
After my sixth class, it was a long day. He takes me over to a desk by the window. You know, had the radiators there, and
yeah.
He goes, "You know who sat in this desk?" I said, "No." He goes, "Hillary Rodham," and he said she was a conservative back then.
Mm. Goldwater.
And then he said she went away to college and got mixed up with a Pinko Methodist preacher. That's what he said, and then she became a liberal, and so she went to Wellesley College, and that's where she wrote her senior thesis on Saul Alinsky. And then another person in the Chicago area that was involved with the Saul Alinsky community organizing was the former president. And so Saul Alinsky, in his book, Rules for Radicals, which he has an acknowledgement in the front couple pages to Lucifer, to the first, you know, radical that at least, you know, rebelled against the establishment and Lucifer.
And got his own kingdom.
And so so Saul Alinsky says the community organizer's first job is to identify the crises, to stir up the he says to fan the flames of hostility to the point of overt expression. The community organizer must search out controversy rather than avoid it. For unless there is controversy, the people are not motivated enough to act. He must fan the flames of hostility to the point of overt expression. So the community organizer's job is to go in there and find issues that can be rubbed and agitated until it breaks out into violence. And then everyone's willing to, in their insecurity, they're willing to surrender their freedoms to some politician that promises to restore order.
Okay. So I can see that overall theme. But what I want to ask you is, what's going on in Portland? Let's just take Portland for a moment. As we're recording this, Portland has experienced, Portland, Oregon, more than 90 days or 90 nights really of violence in the streets. There's even just last week there was a direct shooting of a Trump supporter, a guy who was a member of something called Prayer Patriots, quote unquote. He's just shot in cold blood, and the alleged shooter, because he hasn't been convicted yet, said, "I'm 100% Antifa," and so you support Trump. You say that publicly, and you could have your life blown away, you know, in today's milieu. What's going on? What's going on in Portland? Focus on Portland for a moment.
Right. So the Antifa group, along with the Black Lives Matter, you look at their founders, Patrice Cullors. She is a trans activist, which means she's pushing the transsexual agenda, as well as Opal Tometi, another founder of Black Lives Matter, and Alicia Garza. They're all trans activists, transsexual activists, and they were trained by Eric Mann, who helped found the Weather Underground, right? So we got the 1960s and 70s, the Weather Underground, setting off nail bombs, killing police officers, blowing up fire departments.
In the 60s
the
and 70s.
The Weather Underground, yes. Yeah. And so the Weather Underground.
So they're back.
They, one of them was named Bill Ayers. Yeah. And Bill Ayers hosted a fundraiser at his house to launch the political career of someone running for state senate named Barack Obama. Yeah. And then you have another founder of the Weather Underground is Eric Mann.
By the way, let me just say
and
something.
Eric about- Mann trained yeah. Patricia Cullors, who helped found the Black Lives Matter.
I just want to say real fast, as far as Bill Ayers is concerned, that the New York Times did a profile on him. And it showed him a photograph of him by design. He was stepping on, desecrating, dishonoring the American flag. And that newspaper article actually ran the morning of 9/11. I mean, it was just a coincidence, but it was like, here America gets attacked by Islamic fundamentalists, and here's this prominent American, you know, professional agitator and protester, and he's desecrating the flag on that very day. It was interesting irony.
Yeah, and Bill Ayers said, I'm a communist with a little C, you know. And so anyway, so this is the training of those that are involved in Black Lives Matter. And Opal Tometi goes down to Venezuela.
It's one thing, by the way.
She endorses Maduro, the communist dictator of Venezuela.
I mean, it's one thing to say we agree that Black Lives Matter because as a Christian, in fact, clarify that.
Right. So it's a tactic called seizing the moral high ground. You want to appear as more moral than your opponent. Casinos do this. If a casino wants to move into an area, those that are against casinos will highlight the fact that there's crime that increases and prostitution and drug trafficking and, you know, underage minor sex abuse and so forth.
Suicide.
But if the casino gives a little bit of money to schools, they can seize the moral high ground and say, we care more about the children than you do because we want to give money to schools. And if you love the children, you'll support this bill that allows casinos to come in. And if you don't vote for this bill, you're hateful. You must hate the children unless you do this. And so that's what the Black Lives Matter does. They take an issue. Everybody's against racism. Everybody knows it's wrong. It's
well,
sinful.
Not everybody. I mean, there is.
Well, anybody with common sense.
Yeah.
The Bible condemns it, right? So when Samuel is there with Jesse and all the sons, and he's got the Lord says, man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart.
Right.
The Bible is all about looking on the heart, right? And so it doesn't matter what color the skin is. I tell people, you know, if you have a red computer and a green computer, and you say, well, the reds are better than greens, it's like, really doesn't matter what color the computers are. What matters is what software is running on the hard drive.
Right.
Right. It doesn't matter what color somebody's skin is what behavioral software.
Well, that's exactly
is going
what Martin Luther King was saying. You know, the content of the character is what matters, not the color of the skin. But to say that you embrace Black Lives Matters in today's milieu, for all practical purposes, in effect, you're almost being racist by saying black lives are more important than white matters. There was even I'm sure you've seen the little video where a white man is just minding his own business, walking in the streets of Baltimore. Just happened the other day. And some black guy runs up behind him and hits him over the head with a brick, knocks him out cold. And all these people in the background who taking the video are laughing at it like, this is a great thing. And then there was a hashtag along the lines of white lives don't matter or white lives should be killed or something like that. And it's like, oh, I mean, that's reverse racism, is it not? I mean, that's.
Yeah, well, so this is a typical tactic. The British took over India. How? Well, they first landed.
We only have 5 minutes.
And then they had Bengal, and they had a little trading post. And they
divide and
into
conquer.
A fort.
Is that the end?
And then they ended up giving guns to one of these kingdoms, and then they give guns to another kingdom.
Okay, divide
and
conquer.
Stir up ancient animosities between these kingdoms. They start fighting. The British come in to restore order and peace, and they disarm them both, and they take over. Then they do it again and again and again.
Right.
They tried doing this with the American Indians, right? So here they are giving the Indians guns and promising them gold for scalps. And so
during the war for independence.
During the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812.
By the way, this is even mentioned. Okay, this is even mentioned by name in the Declaration of Independence. When Thomas Jefferson lists all these different terrible things that the British have done to the American colonists, that's one of them. And they also did the same with slaves. They tried to, they wouldn't let America stop the slave trade, which Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, George Mason, and others from Virginia tried with the Fairfax Resolves in 1774.
Yeah, even Patrick Henry.
Yeah, and they didn't let them do that. And then they turn around and they say, hey, we'll give money to these blacks that want to uprise against the American colonists because we want to get our power back here in the American colonies. Amazing.
Yeah, and the same thing with the Texas Declaration of Independence. They accuse Santa Anna of giving guns to the Indians and native populations to stir them up. And so the idea is you want to get into a country. It's called the Fifth Column. Goes back to Alexander the Great's dad, Philip of Macedon, right, in the 4th century B.C. And you got two columns, two flanks, but the fifth column is what? Those are people inside your enemy's camp who is sowing division and confusion and weakens them from the inside so that you can conquer them easier. And so this idea...
That sounds like the media.
and so the British did this to stir up these animosities between, you know, the kingdoms in India. And they took over... India is a quarter of the world's population. And they took over them and they disarmed the entire nation as a result. And so these tactics are you want to come into a country, identify groups with grievances. And, you know, David Howard, who had been a former communist, he says, the issue's never the issue. The issue's always the revolution. He says, women's rights, black rights, those are just sub-issues that really don't matter. They're steps toward the main goal, which is a universal destabilization of the country so the communists can take over. And so you want to find groups. You want to, and so the people that think it's about those minor issues, they're given a term called useful idiots. Right. So they think, oh, this is our issue. We're fighting for an issue. No, no, no. You're fighting as a piece of the puzzle, as a pawn in a bigger issue, which is bringing about a national destabilization so that they can do a leadership switch called a coup. And so this is unfortunately a tried and true, pattern.
Strategy.
And it's opposite of the gospel. Because the gospel says forgive. If you want to go to heaven, you have to forgive.
Yeah.
You have to forgive offenses, all offenses. And so how can you stir up people to say, oh, be offended when the Bible says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you're not forgiving, you won't be forgiven.
Yeah.
And it says again, it says, you know, I forgive you. And then a servant goes out and throws his other servant in jail. And he says, you wicked servant,
Matthew
I forgave
18.
You this large debt and you won't forgive them. And so another place is leave your gift at the altar, go and make peace and then come back. So you have to forgive if you want to be forgiven. And the whole agenda that the left has is don't forgive. Stir up, take on an offense, get a grievance, and you become violent and you attack innocent people. It's an antichrist spirit.
Mm-hmm. We have 1 minute left. You know, it's interesting. In one sense, and don't misunderstand me here, in one sense, we have the greater revenge in that when you follow God, even though we're going to die and we're going to face all kinds of problems in this life, live for Jesus, that's what matters. And when other houses crumble, mine is strong. That's what Evie said many years ago in a song. But it's true. And in fact, studies show that those who follow the Lord, you know, tend to have, as a byproduct of their lives, a lot more peaceful mind, you know, peace of mind and security and happiness. You know, despite all the vicissitudes of life.
You can divide it up into Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. All right, so Booker T. Washington wanted to forgive and let's
wonderful
work
Christian.
Hard, let's move up. And W.E.B. Du Bois said, no, we want to get grievances and reparations and we want to stir up. And he ended up becoming a communist. He went over and embraced Ho Chi Minh. And so we see these two different threads go back quite a ways.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Booker T. Washington, and we'll close with this. His book, Up From Slavery, should be required reading. It's one of the best American books ever written. and he was very strong in his Christian faith. And your book is now, it's called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, and it's available at AmericanMinute.com. Bill, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry.